that all members are present with the exception of our mayor, Janice Peters, who's in Washington, D.C., trying to get us dredging funds. So we certainly wish her good luck. We'll start with a moment of silence. Thank you. And tonight, for our flag salute, Bill Black, would you mind leading us in our flag salute tonight?
To fill out their survey, and in order to encourage you to do that, they're offering three $50 certificates that will be put into a drawing. And on the overhead, you can see the email address to which you would go, or actually the website that you would go to fill out this quick little survey about your travel habits during the summer, so they can better serve you with their bus system, is the intent of that. That's my first announcement. My second announcement has to do with state parks. We had passed a letter here expressing concern about the closures of 7 of the 11 units here in the county, all 7 of which are within 30 minutes of Morro Bay, so it would strongly impact us. To follow up with that, I attended the State Parks Commission meeting down in Chatsworth a couple of weeks ago and expressed, read our letter and sent it, presented it to them. Director Coleman for the state stated that she feels that she's acting on the proposal from the governor as being quite serious, that she's not assuming that that's going to go away and that they are actually going to follow through. But what they have done is they have a foundation, which is a nonprofit, that's going to be organizing the cities and counties and other agencies, including chambers of commerce, to do some kind of publicity promotional thing across the state, particularly the coastal areas, aimed at the governor and the legislature to get that reversed, to not cut those to do those closures. So I wanted to report that back to the community. At the same time, the County Board of Supervisors has already wrote a letter of concern, as we have, and when I attended the Coastal Commission meeting last Thursday, one of their board members, when I made this same announcement at their public comment, encouraging the Coastal Commission to weigh in on this, saying that I thought it was a breach of the Coastal Act, because 6 of our 7 units that will be closed are all public access to the beach, which is, and so Director of the Coastal Commission said that he has communicated to Director Coleman that should they choose, or should the governor insist that they close those units, that they will have to get permits from the Coastal Commission, so there will be a review process when those units are if that becomes what happens, that they become closed. The other thing I want to say about the Coastal Commission, the reason I went in the first place was because of the Colmer development down on Quintana and South Bay Boulevard. I went to speak in support of the appellants. Coastal Commission staff had found that the proposal that our Planning Commission and this council passed did not meet Coastal Act, and they had proposed several changes. Mr. Comer agreed to several of the changes, but not all, and there were amendments made. So that project has been approved with amendments by the Coastal Commission. We've done the Coastal Commission, SLOCOG. At the RAC meeting last week, we heard information about the water levels in the state up to this point as of the end of February, and that information will be in the water conservation public hearing tonight under Section B. Thank you.
Yeah, I think I'll do the easy one first, and that is that I'd given some of these clean canteens to the fire department at the last meeting, and I had to go back and order more for the police department. And so I'd like to present some to Chief DeRohand and say that I need a lot more for the police department, so I have more on order that I'm picking up on Wednesday for you. They can't actually keep them in stock at Mountaineer Sports right now. Everybody's catching on to them. The second thing that concerns me quite a bit is I went and I finally joined the senior center. I will be 57 this year, and I've been resisting it, but they said I qualify. So I went and joined, and they gave me their newest newsletter. So what bothered me right away was this little piece in the senior newsletter about the Cookie Crock store. And it says that the Cookie Crock store is going to give all their food to the pig farmers and not to the senior center. I got very alarmed about this because I really welcome the Cookie Crock. I think we need that alternative here of a warehouse store. So I went immediately to the Cookie Crock and talked to that manager, and he says, I want you to go all the way to the top. So today I had a phone call from Del Clegg, who is the owner and CEO of Cookie Crock Markets. And he said that he was never able to respond to the seniors' request that they continue their donations similarly to Vons. That, in fact, they get hundreds of requests all the time. And right now, he said as a quote, that he is neck deep in renovation of that Vons store. And if you've noticed the Vons...
Mayor Grantham, on this Friday, on March 14th, we have Dixon's annual spaghetti dinner. The proceeds from that event go towards scholarships for children to participate in recreation programs. It's a fundraising event for the Morro Bay Community Foundation. They've given out over $115,000 since they've been in service here to Morro Bay, Cayucas, and Los Osos for children's scholarships. The scholarships fund up to 75% of a program's cost, and they're good for any program, sports programs, child care, so on and so forth. The spaghetti dinner is from 4 to 7:30 on Friday night. The tickets are very reasonable. I believe adults are $8, seniors are $6, children under 8 are free. And it's a great event. I believe Vice Mayor Grantham will be doing some announcements during the evening. There's great raffle prizes, and we hope you decide to attend. Tickets are available at the community center.
Thank you very much. And tonight we have our reports from our police and fire chief. And I was on the radio last night about 10 o'clock last night and heard you, Chief DeRonan, on a Sunday night at 10. So let us know what's going on with the PD, would you?
Sure. Well, regarding that, yesterday we had our normal periodic staff meeting, and as you know, we've had a little bit of increased activity. So I was out patrolling in the unmarked car for a couple hours last night. Commander Olivas came in the week before and was out patrolling an unmarked vehicle, and then he actually caught some kids walking into Del Mar Park, and we had to wind up calling all the parents and having them come get them. So we're coming in on weekends to see if we can help out with, you know, some of the increase in activity. But we just, for our police report, we completed our annual report from last year, and I provided council with a copy of that, and I just wanted to highlight a couple of our accomplishments for last year. We had a great expansion of our Neighborhood Watch program. We formed a new website, and Hank Roth also continues to maintain our email notification system of all the critical information and news to those that participate in the email program. The Police Officers Association and Rotary had a very successful Thanksgiving dinner again this past year. And we enjoyed another successful Caroling Cop Cars event where the trolley went up and down all the streets in town and gave out toys to our local children. We sponsored another Citizens Academy. We had about 20 community members attend. And actually, several of them became so interested in the police department, they joined our volunteer program. And prior to leaving our department, Officer Godfrey taught the DARE program last year. And the Sheriff's Department has agreed to help out. And they're actually in the process right now of teaching the DARE program at Del Mar Elementary School until we can get another officer trained in that. So they've been very helpful with that. And we continue to offer a ride-along program for all the residents of Morro Bay, which allows a unique opportunity to ride along with an officer if anybody's interested. And we members of our department participated as volunteers and workers during most of the special events last year, things like the Harbor Festival, the Margarita Festival, the Car Show, and some others. We hosted the Child Safety Seat Program at Spencer's Market. And with donations from local businesses, we were able to provide child seats to a lot of citizens that were lacking resources to purchase them. And our officers participated again in the Special Olympics Torch Run and the Tippecanoe program, and they raised several thousand dollars to Special Olympics program last year. And let's see, stats-wise, our calls for service continue to rise each year, not astronomically, but we've seen a 9% increase since 2004. A little bit steady increase over each year. And one of the things I often get asked, you know, how many tickets do you write in does the police department write in proportion to warnings? And it's a common question. And last year we wrote a total of 792 citations for the year and issued 2,539 traffic warnings. So it's a ratio of over 3-to-1 warnings to citations. So, and I think most importantly, our officers and employees and volunteers worked very hard this past year, and obviously in part, no doubt, to their hard work, we saw a 7.89% reduction in total crimes reported last year. Some other good news, Doug Collins was released from his training, his field training program, and yesterday he started out on his own. So we kicked him out the back door and said, go do some police work. And so he was pretty happy. And Officer Daly will be reassigned back to detectives to help with the caseload there. That's it.
Will that get you two detectives then?
Yes.
Okay, great. All right, thanks for that report, Chief Pond.
Thank you very much. And first I'll say you're welcome, Chief DeRohan, for his new police officer on the street. He was a great reserve for he's a good guy. I think he's going to do a great job as a police officer. I could speak a lot about the fire station, but if you just drive by 715 Harbor Street, you'll see the changes that are going on there on a regular basis. It's wonderful to see the walls going up each day. Probably the most exciting thing that's happened this last week is we had our annual awards banquet for the fire department, and this year Bill Martiners and all the children out there at Del Mar School. Another was Dan Wixom. Dan was instrumental in helping us with the fireman's muster this year, helping us with his equipment, and then when it came time to move out of the fire station, he provided free of charge his big 18-wheeler and some personnel and some hours to help us move some of our larger pieces of equipment in that big storage shed that we've had for a while. And last of all, we also honored Ken Vesterfelt. Ken's just a consummate volunteer. We know he's an actual police volunteer officially, but he really is out there on just about every traffic accident, tree down, wire down, storm call, flooding call. Ken is out there start to finish protecting the firefighters as well, and we wanted to thank him and honor him for that. Additionally, we honored Graham Pask and Todd Gailey with Meritorious Service Awards. Those are two exceptional firefighters, and Graham missed his first training drill in 13 years this last year, and so we wanted to thank him for all his service there. We gave out a 5-year service pin to Bill Murphy and a 10-year service pin to Jeff Simpson. Jeff has a combination of service between the Harbor Department and the Fire Department. And last of all, our annual report is finished as well and should be into your boxes shortly so that you can review that. And with that, I'll turn it back to Council. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief, and thank you both of you and both your departments for the fabulous service you provide the citizens. We're very lucky. Rob Schultz, how about a closed session report?
Yes, good evening. Prior to tonight's regular session, Council met in closed session on two items. The first item was real property transaction. The Council discussed the property at Embarcadero and Market Street that the city owns. The other item discussed was personnel issues. This was an evaluation of the interim city manager. As to both these items, no action was taken and requires reporting under the Brown Act.
Thank you. Okay, time for public comment. We'll limit your statements to 3 minutes. Please state your name. And please don't speak on any public hearing items.
Good evening, Mayor, Vice Mayor, and Council staff. My name is Keith Taylor, resident of Morro Bay, friend of the Morro Bay Fire Department. I want to speak about a little bit about education for us seniors. I think we all need to know that if we have a problem, whether it's a catastrophic event, maybe we're going to think we're getting a stroke or a heart attack, or we fall down, to use that 911 call and have the fire department come and help us, because they are all paramedics and they know how to take care of us. A lot of times, we being seniors, we don't want to bother anybody. Well, I'd just like to say to all the public, bother them. Because they'll come out, and what they do for us is really important. And we pay for that with our taxes, and we all worked hard to pass Measure Q. And so take advantage of this. It's really a good program. Another program we have is it's called Are You Okay? For seniors that are living alone and they can go to the fire department or the senior center and get put on a list where they call you every day to make sure you're all right. I think that's really a great program, and I think they should take advantage of it. The other thing I would like to speak about is the Measure Q. I've read some letters in the paper, and they say, well, the money goes in the general fund, and I just want to dispel that. I mean, it may be in the general fund, but we have a committee, a Measure Q committee, that oversees this and makes sure that money's spent on what you designate it for. And then you, on the last time, agreed with them on how that money is to be spent. So I would say that's probably one of the most watched amounts of money in this city. And I want to thank all of you guys for really doing your job on that. The very last thing I have to say is I want to say thank you to all of the candidates that threw their hat in the ring, that are running for mayor, running for council, and I wish them all well, and we'll all be looking forward to listening to their issues and platforms and all that at whatever forums we have, and thank you.
Good evening. My name is Joyce Lundy, and I'm a 30-year resident of Morro Bay. And I wear lots of different hats within the community, but tonight the hat I have on is as the chairperson of the second annual Morro Bay Kite Festival. And when we started this kite festival last year, we wanted to make sure that we included the local children, as well as bringing people in from out of town. And we did a program at Del Mar, and it was an educational assembly. We had a speaker, we had a PowerPoint presentation, and then we all went out and flew kites out in the field. Well, the word got out, and by the way, this year, the Kite Festival is on April the 26th, but April the 25th, we're going to be doing four schools. We're going to be doing Monarch Grove, Baywood Elementary, Del Mar, and Cayucas simultaneously. We have the science teachers are going to assist us because this year it's going to be a scientific.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, staff, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jack Barrett. I'm a resident of Morro Bay for the past 10 years, and I'm a candidate for city council. And I mention that because because I want people to know that I'm running for city council. But also, I'd like to mention the help I've had and the support from the staff people here, especially Bridget. She's an absolute angel. And I don't think any of us could have done it without her. If you all know, of course, up there, the volumes of forms you have to read and fill out and everything, and it's kind of mind-boggling. Andrea, I would appreciate your help very, very much. Rob has invited me to his office. I haven't got there yet. I'll get to you two folks, too, I'm sure, I hope. I've already met with Mike Pond, and we have a meeting scheduled with Chief DeRohan. So I thank all of you very, very much for your help. The next thing I'd like to mention is I happen to be on the board of directors of Friends of the Police Department, and we have some events coming along, fundraisers, that we'll be talking about later as they get a little bit closer. The most recent one is going to be the awards dinner for the police department, which the public is not going to be invited to, but that will be on the, it doesn't matter. It's March the 21st at 5:30 at the, anyway, but we'll be there, Chief, believe me. And the Friends are for the first time, are going to put that on for the PD and try to save them some money in that regard. There's a yard sale April 12th and 13th. As you all know, it's a city yard sale. And the fire department, Friends of the Fire Department, Friends of the Police Department are getting together with and putting on a joint yard sale. And we'll be at the flower shop at the corner of Walk and Don't Walk, where you all know where the flower shop is. Anyway, we'll be there both days trying to raise funds for both departments. On May the 14th, there's a very important event happening at the Rock for the police department, and that's the police memorial ceremony. Officers come from all over the state for this. Chief DeRoyan has been invited to have it here in Morro Bay this year, and we really look forward to that. We'll have a number of the clergy there. Father Ed's already been talking to John about it, and it will be a very impressive event, I'm sure, and everybody's invited. We'd like to see you all there, including all of the citizens. There's a Ed Biagini business forum that's very important, I think meets every Thursday, as most of you know. On March the 18th, coming right up, the Board of Supervisors is meeting at their offices or in their building there on Santa Rosa, and I forget the name of the street. I guess it's Monterey.
I'm sorry, Jack. Three minutes is up. We'll have to tie it up.
I'm sorry. I didn't even look
at the
clock.
That's quite all right.
That's all I have to say.
Be consistent. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Good evening, Vice Mayor, members of the council staff, members of the audience, and viewing public. Your clerk had given you a little packet here. That's what I'm going to be referring to. My name is Hunter Kilpatrick, and I'm a resident of Morro Bay and the interim president of the Rockalano Club, also known as TRAC. We are a newly formed nonprofit public benefit corporation to provide recovery resources for the individual and the community. We are currently in search of rental property within Morro Bay to open our doors in the very near future. I'm here tonight to introduce you to TRAC and answer any questions the City Council may have. I'm also here to invite the City Council, staff, employees, and residents of Morro Bay to our first annual spring barbecue and fundraiser and social that will be held right here at the Veterans Memorial Building, 209 Surf Street, on March 22nd from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. We will have a tri-tip barbecue available as well as a prize raffle, and our directors and members will be on hand to answer any questions the public may have about TRAC. We are establishing our club here in Morro Bay to not only serve the needs of this community, but also communities from Los Osos to San Simeon. We estimate there to be a recovery community of at least 200 to 300 people here on our coast, as well as their families and friends. Currently, there is a high demand for meeting space for all 12-step recovery programs, with a deficiency of resources for our youth and family members. It is a goal of TRAC to provide these resources and to provide community outreach programs that will benefit all the residents of our area. We would like to see all the members of the City Council, as well as the public safety personnel and the educators and community business leaders, at our spring barbecue so we may all get acquainted and we at TRAC can best be informed of the needs and wants of our community and how we may...
Good evening. I'm Jude Long from the Morro Bay Library. I wanted to stop by this evening and remind everyone of two important library events. We have our final community input meeting coming up next Tuesday, March 18th, from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at the library. We're looking for information from the public and residents of Morro Bay to find out what you want in the future from your library. What can we do differently? What are your expectations in 5 years? What do you want in 10 years? We also have an online survey. Actually, the survey is available in two formats. There are paper surveys at the library and at the back of the room here. And it's available online at slowlibrary.org. You can fill it out and click to complete it. And we hope everyone fills out a survey also. Before I leave, I'd also like to mention that I met with Hank Roth this morning. And the library looks forward to working with Hank on traffic safety and dispensing information and hopefully providing an area where people can learn about traffic safety in the near future. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mr. Vice Mayor, members of the council. Boy, oh boy, when we did the initiatives last year, you always wonder how it'll work out. It looks like it's working out pretty good so far. We've got four candidates for mayor and I think 9 or 10 council candidates. But what people need to know is that because one of our incumbent council people is not running for council, The deadline for council has been extended to Wednesday. So there's still room in the water for anybody else who's got an itch and wants to scratch it and get involved. But I would say call Bridget a little ahead of time. She had a bus station, I think, in there on Friday afternoon. But talk to Bridget. Let her know you're coming down and, join the fun. Thanks. Oh, another thing. I've got a little time left. Had a bad experience the other day. I was driving someone's car back from the airport, and I ran into what I would affectionately call a wolf pack at the edge of town. There were 5 CHP units out there using what is they affectionately call LIDAR, which is a laser speed thing. And they had a real fun fishing hole out there for a while. I speak with experience as to what happens out there. They were writing ticket after ticket after ticket after ticket. So if you see any CHP out on Highway 1, as far away as you can, slow down if you're going over 65, because they got the means to tell you exactly how fast you're going and even show you a picture of it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Council and Vice Mayor. My name is Mickey Hooks. I live here in Morro Bay, and I'm here representing the Methodist Church of Morro Bay that's located next to Del Mar School. We are just very excited and with great pride would like to invite the community to attend an event we are having this Saturday, the 15th. It will be at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And it is the planting of a peace pole. You may have not heard of a peace pole in the past, but on this bulletin on the wall here, or on the projector, if you can see it, our pole is made of cypress. It was handcrafted by one of our church members, Dave Steinbaugh. And there are plaques with the phrase, "May peace prevail on earth." And each has to participate in their traditional cultural blessings. So it will also include the children of the community and the children from our preschool and after-school program. So please join us if you can. We are aware that this happens to be also the 5th anniversary of the Iraq War, and there will be other types of gatherings that day, but if you could attend with us, it's an alternative to some of the other events. So my name and phone number is Mickey Hooks, 772-6837, or the church, you may call 772-7637 for more information. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good evening, Vice Mayor, Council. My name is Greg Bouchot. I'm working out at the Churro Creek Ranch. We have recently incorporated as West Coast Housing to further our influence in the county as an alternative for housing in very low-income housing, senior housing. The reason I'm here today is to put out a rumor or some fires that have been generated. First off, we are not building a homeless facility out at the Churro Creek Ranch location. Second of all, we do not take pedophiles. We do not take felons. And we are not taking or associated with the Sunny Acres facility that's out there. We've heard rumor through some government agencies that we are moving in that direction, and I would just like to let the community know that we are not moving in that direction. Our focus is on senior housing and the low and very low income housing, and we would love to make our presence known greater and fulfill the need here in Morro Bay first. So I thank you very much for your time and the support of Morro Bay with us at this time. Thank you.
Good evening, Honorable Council, Vice Mayor. My name is Nancy Johnson, and tonight I'm here as the Flower Lady. I want to share with you some wonderful upcoming events that all deal with gardening and flowers. The first of these is the Master Gardeners Annual Symposium, which will be April 19th. Home Gardening CSI. You'll find out lots of interesting information about gardening and the bugs in your yard, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You'll also learn a little about safe sex in the garden. Tom Ogren, the author of Safe Sex in the Garden, will be there to speak with us. And I'll bet most of you didn't even know that there's a difference between the value of planting male trees or female trees. It makes a really big difference in terms of allergens in your yard. Our lunch will be provided by our own local caterer, Noel, Mr. Smuckler. And it will be, the whole day will be a green event. We're asking people to bring their own coffee mugs, all produce and food for the luncheon, and the morning and afternoon snacks will be local. So we hope that some of you can join us on that day, Saturday, April 19th. And the next event is the 22nd, it's hard to believe, annual garden tour sponsored by the Morro Bay AAUW chapter. This year it's called Secret Gardens of the Scenic Coast. We have six beautiful gardens this year. It's Sunday, April 27th from noon to 5. The tickets are only $5. I do have a few available, like 30 of them, I think, in case anybody's interested. And they can also be purchased at Miners and Coalesce. So that should be a really wonderful day to tour gardens in Los Osos, Morro Bay, and this year we have one in Cayucas. The third event I'm really excited about this one. The Montaña de Oro District of the California Garden Club is holding their first flower show that they've ever done in Morro Bay. And it's the weekend of the car show. So we have a car theme, floral road trip. Some of the categories are things like fuel, full tank, midget.
Hopefully, let us know. Basically, the rumors here is one of our citizens, Gary Johnson, wrote a rebuttal to Councilwoman Winholz on the Harbor Walk. And I don't know about the Harbor Walk. You know, that time will tell on that. But we did put out money as a city. And I think our infrastructure has been really ignored in our city, and we need to spend a little more time on that. But what really gets me is the statement here. There is a group of people in Morro Bay, like Councilwoman Winholz, who worked very hard to destroy the planned remodel with Duke Energy. The same group also helped destroy the fishing industry as we knew it. I love the fishing industry. I used to try to eat my weight in salmon every year, so I respect them very much. And, you know, the irony of this is Mr. Johnson and a lot of people that he aligned himself with actually fought for this plant with Once Through Cooling. Now, Once Through Cooling, I would thank Ms. Winholz and Melody for their hard work on this issue because they were right. The state's taking action on shutting down Once Through Cooling. I went to a seminar last week at the Ocean Protection Council, and it's quite obvious that they're going to shut down once through cooling for this very reason. It's destroying our sea life. I mean, and I fought this for 9 years knowing this, and these two council people were on the right side of this issue, and I'm proud to be part of that. So, and then he goes on to say that, you know, our city wouldn't have been founded without the power plant. Again, I know that it's been pointed out at meetings that PG&E gave the city around $35,000 or $40,000 a year in real estate taxes. That's what they paid. That's far below what our TOT brought in even back then. So, you know, it's just kind of like we shouldn't be putting out rumors like this. And, you know, I'll send in a rebuttal to this, but a lot of my letters don't get printed. It's pretty one way if you keep track of these things. So anyway, we need to watch these rumors. And, you know, to have silly rumors like this running around just doesn't help anybody. I mean, I love this city. I've been here, you know, I've lived in this area half my life. I'm here fighting for this city. And again, I would thank the two council people who stood up and fought for the right thing, not the money. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Dana Putnam, and I'm here as a Morro Bay resident and also representing the local chapter of the Surfrider Foundation. I'm here to speak on the boatyard and haul-out issue. There's a proposed boatyard and haul-out being planned for the area of Coleman Park, and just wanted to make some comments in terms of speaking for a Surfrider. Surfriders' concern is primarily in the areas of water quality and coastal access, so concern that those are factors that are strongly considered in this project. Also, we're thinking along the lines of the Coastal Commission's potential concerns with this project and thinking that it would be good to consult with the Coastal Commission to determine if this is even viable rather than putting a lot of resources into it before we know how viable it is. And then in terms of the most recent Recreation and Parks meeting, there was a proposed concept plan that was approved in terms of a concept going forward. There were some things we really liked about that was that it maintained the open space going out towards the rock and didn't encumber the Coleman Park area with any structures. That was a positive thing, although there are some things that we feel still need to be considered. Specifically, a market survey looking at the actual need for this sort of facility and determining how many boats need to be pulled out and what kind of disruption that might occur, especially given that the current proposed plan would be crossing the road that goes out to the rock and looking at road closures and what how long those might be and when they might occur and what kind of disruption might result as a result of that. And then finally, well, I think I got to the end of my list. So so those are the main things that I just wanted to bring up and just wanted to bring it forward in front of the council since it does seem to be moving along through the commissions. My understanding is that the Harbor Department is still looking at the commission is still looking at this and has not yet given their approval of one of the proposed concept plans. Thank you.
Thank you.
And coincidentally, I am very interested in the other issues that our advisory boards and council are involved with. So along those lines, the harbor and the boat haul-out issue are things that I've been observing from a distance and talking with some of the commissioners about. And I, too, would agree with Surfrider's concerns. And specifically, I feel like this issue's we've put a lot of effort already into developing some concepts and ideas, which is good. But, again, it is important when we are planning and discussing potential development that we bring in the people that have the most influence – and care for the potential project as early as possible, so we do not get too far down the road with effort and energy and time and find out that there's certain components to the project that may not fit with either the residents or the Coastal Commission or the council itself. So again, it sounds like a fantastic project the way it's developing, especially the open space components of it. And I do have a great respect for RRM Design. They are one of the leaders in environmental design in the county, and I would love to see this project develop to be one of the showcases for our local community in best management practices and smart design. So making sure that this project doesn't impact our watersheds and the water quality. So along those lines, too, I think I've pretty much said all that I need to say, but this Harbor Walk is an exciting component, and this project could fit, but let's just make sure that we follow the process and get input from the public before we get too far. So thanks, and I'll see you on the campaign trail.
Thank you. Any others wishing to speak? Then we'll bring it back to council, and does council have any comments on public comment?
I do.
Bill?
First of all, I'm sorry that Joyce Lundy left because the mayor asked me tonight to indicate to her that she was going to put up initially $100 from discretionary funds for the Kite Festival, and depending on another project that's going on, maybe some additional funds. So that, I think, will be going through official channels since there's nobody here to record that anyway. The other issue, the CHP is also using the airplane again. So just because you may miss the person with the LIDAR on the ground, the airplane may be up there. I've heard them talking. So even more importantly, watch the speed, because the CHP is, I guess that's how they're going to balance the state's budget. It's the only thing I can think of. The CHP has been tasked to make up the revenue. Thirdly, this is, and I just make note of this one time, because I know why it's happening, because people need to be seen and recognized, but this is, I think, really the first of the elections where people are regularly campaigning at public comment period. And I don't know if that's right, wrong, or otherwise. I'm not going to speak to that. I'm just simply saying this is the first time we've had a steady stream of people campaigning before the camera at public comment period.
Yeah, I'll rebut that one, Mr. Pierce. That's a favorite way of campaigning. I campaigned that way. Other people have campaigned that way. It's free publicity, and it is public comment. So whether or not they're a candidate, I think it's fair and right that they get to come up to the mic during public comment and talk about whatever they want. And I think it also contributes to the public process of an election, that the people at home who don't get to come to these meetings get to see these candidates. They might not subscribe to the papers or what, you know. I think it's a good thing that they come here.
I'm not saying it's not, Mr. Vice Mayor, if I may contribute to that. What I did notice in times past is not that the candidates didn't speak, but I think a number of those candidates, I'll say us, got up before we declared and made ourselves known for probably months. But I think the actual, hi, I'm a candidate, here's my face, I'm running, I don't think was quite as obvious as it is these days. Maybe we've just cut through the preliminary stuff and we're working on the good stuff now. But in your particular case, you were here talking about issues for quite a while before you actually declared your candidacy. Mm. And that's all I'm commenting on.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, I think, too, it's probably because of the keen competition this time. There's numbers of them running for council. I would like to also add discretionary money, and I think, Andrew, you're writing this down. I'd like to put $300 of my discretionary money towards the Kite Festival.
Okay, big spender. Does anybody else want to contribute to the? That's for the Kite Festival?
Maybe. I've got to see what another project is doing first.
Betty?
No, I wanted to ask the city manager a question in a minute.
Okay, and go ahead and put me down for $200 on that, Andrea, and go ahead with your question.
There was reference made to the Harbor Walk and it coming through the different boards. I believe, Ms. Luker, that it's on our agenda to come forward. It was agendized at the last meeting that we wanted to see that project and just hear what's happening with it.
You would be seeing that project. I believe the Harbor Advisory Board is taking it back to their April meeting for consensus on one of the concept plans, and then it will be coming forward to City Council.
regarding water emergencies shows us that the conservation only happens in the event of an emergency, that we don't really have a policy about conservation outside of that. So I'm recommending tonight that we review the current code regarding water emergencies, understand that water conservation is only supported within the context of an emergency and not as a general rule, understand the role of City Council in determining what a, quote, low water level and subsequent conservation powers are that we hold. In light of the water shortages that have taken place in the state in 2007 and 2008 and in some parts for several years, particularly around the San Diego area, and receiving quite a bit of rain this past winter, I feel like there's a mood that we're in good shape, both within the state and within the city. So what I did was pull from the Water Resources Advisory Committee this on your second page, what I've labeled as Attachment A, a rainfall reservoir update as of the end of February. So it's fairly recent, or very recent, I should say. And it shows you the levels of the different reservoirs in our area, Nacimiento, Lopez, the Salinas, Well Rock, and Twitchell. Now, Morro Bay itself does not rely on any of these reservoirs because we have the State Water Project and we have our wells. But you can see that because we live in this region, that the capacities are up dramatically over last year. But when you look at the average, you'll see that we're not where we need to be. Nacimiento is only at 54%. Well Rock is better at 76%. And others. Salinas is actually at the best at 100%. So I don't want us to get lulled into thinking that water is not an issue when it is. The top chart, and I don't know if this would help to put it on the overhead. It was not clear earlier this evening. But again, our percentage of annual rainfall for the different areas, and probably Cambria would be the closest to us on your list, you can see that they've only averaged between 52 and 81% of their annual rainfall. So even though, thank you, Ms. Luker, so even though we've had quite a bit of rain, there's still concern. So what I'd like for us to do is to talk about or be aware of on our second attachment, Attachment B. Ms. Bauer's help, have copied for you the emergency ordinance of our municipal code. And you can see we're under 1304-330 on the top of the first page. These are the powers of the council and what we need to be aware of. And I'll just read this for the public quickly. When deemed necessary in the judgment of the City Council to conserve water during low water level months or during flood water conditions, which may contaminate city wells, and this was written before we had state water, the City Council may, by resolution, declare the emergency condition and do any or all of the following items. And I'll just list them. There's five listed. Limit irrigation. Hold all customers inside the service district to maximum usage, provide adequate drinking water, asking the public actually to provide their own drinking and cooking water, take any other action that may be deemed helpful, and work on conservation measures. So I personally was under the assumption that we encourage conservation and that that was part of our plan. It's certainly part of one of our strategies in our water plan for the city, and I just want the council to be aware that it truly isn't in our rules to do that, and what, if anything, do we want to do about that? And I think another part of the discussion could also be then at what level do we think that we've gotten too low? Is it when there's an emergency like 2 years ago when we had to turn on the desal plant? We declared an emergency, but we didn't really, I don't think we're aware of these other items that we can pay attention to. So I guess I would just open it up for dialogue and as it is a public hearing, and see if the public and or council has any comment.
Bill? Public hearing.
No, should I have comment now or after the public?
I think it'd be after.
Okay, I think I would wait till after, but I would note that this discussion, I believe, is timely as we've just come out of the rain months and we are now approaching the drought months.
All right, this is a public hearing. Any members of the public wishing to speak on this issue, please come forward.
Once again, good evening, Mr. I really think that what's trying to go on here is that there is an overall attempt to convince the community that we have a water problem. We conserve our water already. Morro Bay, the per capita use of water in Morro Bay is the lowest or the next to the lowest of any municipality in the state of California. We're already doing a very good job. We have virtually retrofitted every home in Morro Bay with low-flow toilets and showers. We don't have big yards with lots of grass in them and things like that. We're doing the right thing already. The idea that we should be afraid and that there's some pending doom coming is really misleading and inappropriate. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Noah Smuckler, and I would actually like to respond a bit to the recent comment, and just in that water is such a vital resource to community health and viability that we need to always keep this resource in mind and make sure we revisit it constantly, because as things are changing so quickly with resource availability, expense, and also the potential for some sort of a natural disaster within California because of our structure and susceptibility to earthquakes and so on, we need to do everything we can to improve upon what we've done in the past, which has been good. But in the case of water, which is so vital to our health and the safety of our community, there are ways that we can improve. And fortunately, the city has a good track record with this. There are simple things we can do. One of my suggestions would be to follow up with Slow Green Build on some of their water conservation and efficiency guidelines. They have a service that can help the city identify potentially some other areas of savings. I know the toilet retrofit program was very successful, but there are new opportunities in the toilet technology that will help us further reduce the impacts or water use from toilets. And overall, I just think it's important for us to keep water as a number one issue and concern with our city, because looking at the picture across the state, you can see that there are issues for every community. And at some point, if there was a major shortage throughout the state or a major interruption that's not predictable, we would just be one other community that was in the line waiting to receive our water supply. So this is important, and we need to do everything we can to make sure that locally we are prepared and practiced in taking care of this most vital resource. So thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, members of the council. Rick, you're doing a fine job, but don't give up your day job, though. My name is Roger Ewing, and I'm here to support your efforts to continue conserving our water supply. As a young man, I did a lot of sailing, deep water sailing, throughout the Pacific and the Caribbean seas. And other than learning how to sail, the first and most important thing I learned was to conserve our drinking water, because we can't always rely on rains out in the middle of the ocean. So I learned early the art of conserving and the principles and the morality of conserving. Water is a finite resource. We only have so much. And population growth is unchecked. So we continue to grow as a population, but not as a water supply. So that means eventually the water gets diminished. We are not guaranteed any amount of water delivered here. We have a contract and we hope we get water delivered, but each year we keep getting less. I would like to urge you, please continue encouraging conservation. I would rather us, when the time comes to be conserving, we are prepared. We've gone through the motions. We know what it means. We know how to do it. So to do nothing is to put your head in the sand. And there are a lot of reasons that we need to conserve our water supply. The reservoirs may go down eventually. The pipes may break. As Mr. Smuckler said, we have natural disasters that could take place. Anything can happen. We need to be prepared. So I urge you, start the conservation program now. Get the public used to it. Get us aware that we need to do it so that when we actually have to, it's a fairly easy step to do. Change is not something we all love to do. We are human. It's the most difficult thing. But if we're educated and have reasons, we can learn and we can adapt. So please, encourage the public. Keep conserving. Thank you very much. Have a good meeting.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing?
Adequate snowpacks. They are melting at faster rates than we can contain in our present dams. Due to climate change, global warming, whatever reason, the snowpack doesn't last as far into May and June as water administrators would like it to. And then thirdly, it's true we don't rely on reservoirs, but that is part of the critical problem here in Morro Bay. What we rely on are wells that are frequently compromised by nitrates. We rely on a desal plant that is expensive to run and will require us to pay several hundreds of thousand dollars just to upgrade. And then we rely on state water. And when we signed up for state water, we signed big contracts with them, and we are recently finding that state water is not that reliable. Part of it is a lawsuit about their version of the snowy plover up there. The Delta smelt fish, that's what it is. And the other problem is just structural. The levees are old, and they are. I've talked to our own civil engineer, Dylan Wade, and he's nervous about the condition of the levees up there and waiting for them to crack or fail. Have an earthquake up there, it's all going to fall apart. So now they're talking about building the god-awful peripheral system to go around the levee to supply us with water. Don't even think for a minute that that will be done quickly. The dams will not be done quickly, and the desal plant will not be upgraded quickly. And we will not get that nitrate out of our wells quick enough, because as long as it's there, we have to run the expensive desal plant. So I see us as having a problem here. Now, as to whether it's an emergency and whether or not we should have people panicking, I don't know, but when I walked up my neighborhood, Radcliffe, the other day and could see the soapy water going right down into the bay. So I track it all the way up Radcliffe, all the way up this street, Bolton Street, and all the way to a motorhome that has just been washed because in the middle of the day because somebody thinks we've got enough water to wash a huge motorhome and just soak the soap and everything down into the bay. It's two things, polluting the bay, but the other thing is where in their minds do they think we have that kind of water to use in the middle of a day? So there are some things we could do here that would be very light on consumers or residents. One of them is we could, as a council, declare a low water condition. And I think if you look at these rainfall totals here, not the reservoirs, but the rainfall totals, we're at the end of the rainy season, although I know some people used to tell me April showers bring May flowers. I haven't seen any predictions for any more rain at all this year. And at some temperature and weather places, we're down as low as 70% or 52% of the rain that is our average. Okay, we had a lot more rain, but it's way below our average. So I just think it would behoove us now to take on some kind of judgment here at the council level to at the very least do A under 1304.330, which is to limit irrigation within the city water to specified hours or specified days. Or if you look under 1304.340, letter A, we declared the resolution, and then the Public Works Director specifies days and our hours. It's easy enough to send that out in the water bill. Say we'd like you to only water on, odd-numbered days of the week, so we cut out half of them. And perhaps we would like to have you water only before 10 o'clock in the morning and after 4. These are common things that people do when they are in drought or drought possibility situations. This is not weird. This is not unknown. This is not impossible.
Bill? How many of us went through the odd, even watering days and before and after? Anybody up here? Mm-hmm. Were you all living here at that point?
No.
Okay. It was not necessarily totally well received by the public, but they understood it because we did, in fact, have a water shortage. The water shortages we face, assuming we have drinking water in our aquifers, is when the water level drops in the aquifers because of overpumping. It has had traditionally, I mean, they've gone coincidentally with each other, but it has really nothing to do with the amount of water in reservoirs or the snowpack or anything. It's what we have here locally. I don't know, maybe our poor representative, do you know what our water level is in the aquifers at this point?
No, I.
The last several years, I don't. And I apologize for putting you on the spot. I sent an email this morning or last night to Mr. Boucher asking that, and I was not able to get an answer from him either. So I was hoping maybe he'd briefed you. That's where we have our problems. Of course, we have another problem with the fact that the water in those aquifers tends to be a little poisonous right now. But we have had problems in times past because of not drawing those aquifers down. That's where we're getting the infiltration into all our pipes. We've gone through just recently all these people going, well, you got to do something about your bad sewer pipes and everything because you're getting infiltration in them. That tells me the water level's up to near maximum. Please don't, you know, wash your RV in your driveway and let it run all the way down to the ocean. But I don't want to put teeth in it yet because we have the teeth. All we have to do is declare an emergency here. And then we can come along, we can shut their water off, we can do all sorts of horrible things to them. And we've done it before. But I don't think we're ready to do that yet.
I would like to clarify that the reason I brought this motion forward is not one of fear or to scare people, but be more proactive and say, let's be aware of what's going on in the state. Let's know that there's a statewide campaign to conserve because the state government is concerned about our water levels. And so it's more one of being aware of our resource and knowing that we live in a place that has its ups and downs. And at this particular time, with the quality of our water not being as it has been in the past, and that's as much as a concern, the pollution of our water, as it is the quantity of our water. And so I think maybe there's some place here in between Mr. Merritt and Mr. Pierce, which would be maybe we need to have an educational program first and start with that. And maybe we need to ask our Public Works Advisory Board to say, can you come up with some method that would attract people's attention, give them some very specific methods that they can start cutting back on so we don't have to get to the level where we're going to declare. Because I think one of the ways that you keep from having an emergency is to not get there in the first place. And so I think we're on the edge, and I think that we need to be aware of that. But I think there are steps that we can take that will hopefully keep us off the cliff.
Okay, thank you. You know, in reading the mandatory water conservation requirements, there's actually a couple of things in here that we're doing now. Very informally. It's difficult to go into a restaurant and have water served to you unless you ask for it, and that's one of these things that's on here. Restaurants shall serve drinking water only in response to a specific request. And I think most of the restaurants, that's what they do. The ones that I go to, anyway, if you want water, you ask for water and they'll bring you some. Otherwise, you don't. One other comment regarding what Melody brought up about the pollution and drinking water. This was brought out 2 or 3 months ago. There was 41 municipalities that were tested throughout the United States. From what I recall, I think the Philadelphia area was probably the worst. And what they're finding is these pharmaceuticals are very difficult to be taken out of the water, and they're finding antidepressants, pain medications, sex hormones like Premarins and things like this. And then fish turn up with male and female sex organs, and people are wondering, okay, what in the heck's going on here? It's not like taking a pill, of course, but you're still getting trace amounts. And what are the results or the effects of drinking trace amounts of this stuff for 30 or 40 years? I wouldn't think it's a desirable effect. I'm more concerned with cleaning up what we have. I don't think at this point I'm ready to make any mandatory cutbacks or instructions. I don't think we're there. And as stated, we do have a problem with the wells, and you'll be hearing more about that. And the thing is, there's too many nitrates. Nitrate levels are too high for safe consumption. So I want to put an emphasis on cleaning up what we've got rather than saying don't use this and don't water your lawn and this kind of thing. So I'm for taking this for information purposes at this time. And unless anyone has anything else to say.
I got one other, I think a more positive thing I'd like to add. I think we should continue to push conservation, whether it's in the water bills or anything else. I see absolutely nothing wrong with that every single month. Print it right on the water bill instead of some of the other stuff we might put on there. There's got to be a line you can put on there that says, you know, you could lower this water rate, just try using less water. The other thing I would like to do, and I think a lot of the public awareness will come out of it, I would like to be, and I know we've talked about this and you'll hear more later, I want to be very aggressive when it comes to cleaning up those aquifers. Because we have got, that's the one thing that will save us after all of the emergencies and everything else. If we can get the levels of nitrates down in the aquifers, we can use them. And it's not the end of everything, but that's what this city operated on with this level of population for years. And yes, we did have tight times that we had to cut back, and then it got better again. And I would just simply say, and I know we all agree on this, but that's where we should start right now, is go after the aquifers. And that, I think, will solve a lot of our problems.
A fact like that, mm-hmm. Better than just like our little signs around town, shut off your faucets. But if on the water bill where they're looking at facts, how many units, what is it costing me, and they see this fact, we only have 52-60% of our average rainfall, continue your conservation.
Don't
just
we,
like that.
Mr. Vice Mayor, don't we have statistics for our rainfall? I mean, the fire department's got that little thing in that rain gauge and everything.
We do.
Yeah, we ought to be able to come up with our own statistics and say this is what we are compared to, rather than using Cambria, because we've got our own numbers mm-hmm. there somewhere.
That's fine.
Well, if we have our own numbers, but I would also like to just check and say, Ms. Winholtz, aren't you on the Water Resources Advisory Council, the RAC?
Mm-hmm.
Is that where you got this rainfall mm-hmm. reservoir mm-hmm. update? So in other words, using our own is one thing, but this is what the RAC committee has devised and has checked on with their gauges. So I'm fine with this, or if you've got something at the fire station that you'd rather put in. But I think if we could do that, I'd be happy with that.
Well, I think it would be appropriate if you were saying Morro Bay is, you know, received 19% or whatever percentage less than average rainfall this year. I mean, that's going to tell a lot more than other cities or one of the reservoirs, because most people aren't going to connect to that.
We're still 20% below our average.
Whatever, yes.
Yeah.
But again, we also need to be aggressive in the other directions, because that's where, if we have problems or a disaster, the one place we have the ability to fall mm-hmm. back on, the only place we can fall back on, is the aquifers.
Mr. Vice Mayor, I think that's a great idea to put something in the water bill. I think that becomes educational when you see how much you're paying, to say, oh, well, that as well. I think often people don't know how to conserve, so I think coming up with little tidbits, maybe a different one every month to go with that might be helpful. And I don't know who or how can generate those lists of items, but it seems to me that you can ask someone to conserve, but unless you let them know how to do that, I think they might be willing, but they're unsure of what that would mean for them.
Well, one thing that might take a little bit of homework, and I don't know if it's feasible, like we could, the wording could be something like, if you used one quarter less this month, your bill would have been such and such.
Mm-hmm.
And that is kind of an incentive. People mm-hmm. are looking at saving money.
Mm-hmm.
They might see a more reasonable to them bill on there, and they would know what they had to do to get it there.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that might take a little bit of
money,
a little bit of money
and
homework on their side. I'm all for preaching conservation, not just for water, but for everything that we use.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to take this on as information.
I'd like to actually make a motion.
All right.
If you would.
Sure.
I would like to make a motion that we direct staff to add a comment on the next water bill, that says conservation is still important. we've received 20% less rain than our average.
So whatever the figure is.
Or something to that effect.
Assuming it's feasible. I mean, we got to find out first that it they can actually do that
if
somewhere.
Feasible. I'll take that, yeah, since we don't have Susan here.
Do I hear a second on that?
I'll second that. And I don't know that I want to do it for just 1 month, but for each month. And I would guess that staff can craft the sentence that we... So I think they know the intent.
I think so. And I would amend my motion to that, that it would just continue through to the next rainy season.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Okay, any more discussion on that?
Just a quick thing. Maybe after the first month of saying, it, you know, 20% less, I don't know how difficult it is to change the comment line if it's just somebody sitting at a computer. Maybe that's where they put the tip each month.
Could
you know,
be.
They could do, check for, you know, leaky this, check for that, come up with seven or something and rotate them.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably something they'll find out and devise and maybe bring it back to us to let us know, or do we need to
we
do that?
To come back.
I'd rather just let them
okay.
do it.
I think directing staff to on each water bill to provide the rain totals and also that conservation tip, I think we can work with. If it is a problem, then we'll bring it back. If not, you'll see it in your water bill.
Excellent. Okay.
Vote. Okay, there's a motion in front of us. Do you want to repeat it one more time?
I think we know it.
Not really.
You know it? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None.
So
thank you.
When are we going to do agenda items?
At the end.
Okay.
B2 is resolution of intention number 1408 to approve amendment to the PERS contract. Andrea?
Once again, good evening. This is a resolution this evening, number 14-08, and ordinance number 537, which is going to enact a benefit currently provided in the section 13.6.3 of the Memorandum of Understanding, the MOU, between the City of Morro Bay and the Morro Bay Police Officers Association. This MOU was actually...
Could you just define superfunded for me? You said it after 5 years this will become superfunded. What would that mean?
Basically, it means that PERS believes that we will no longer have to pay for this benefit after 5 years because it hasn't been used enough to have a negative balance. Currently, we have the fourth level survivor benefit for the fire department, and it has been superfunded. I believe they added it in 1998.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And just, I'm sorry, one last question. On the next to the last page under the 12C where you talk about the valuations, can you explain what that means also, that we're asking them for valuation?
What happens when there are certain benefits in PERS that are considered optional benefits, and those are benefits that the employees negotiate for. This is one of them, fourth level survivor. And when we... when you agree to provide a benefit, then we need to get an evaluation, not an evaluation, but a valuation from PERS that gives us the amount it will cost for this particular unit, which is the police members, what it will cost PERS, what it will cost the City of Morro Bay, and that's required by PERS, and it generally takes 3 to 4 months to get that kind of information after the council has decided to provide this benefit.
So the $3,000 on the front page is an estimate?
No, that will be the cost, and that will be the cost for the next 5 years for this benefit. Mm-hmm. That will be the cost.
So that is the valuation.
You're correct.
Thank you.
Bill? Melody, anything else? I'd like to go ahead and make a motion. Or I'm sorry, this is a public hearing. Anyone wishing to speak on this item, please come forward.
Do you want me to tell you?
Seeing none, we'll bring it back to council. Any further discussion?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve amendment to the PERS contract and number 1408, resolution of intention to amend the PERS contract in regard to fourth level survivor benefit, and approval by title and number only.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Thank you.
This is ordinance number 537, an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Morro Bay authorizing an amendment to the contract between the City Council of the City of Morro Bay and the Board of Administration of the California Public Employees Retirement System for fourth level survivor benefit for police members.
Thank you.
That was a mouthful.
Okay. Consent items. Who would like to pull any?
We'll pull 1A. Is it for the minutes?
Okay. Do I hear approval of A3?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay. A1, Betty?
This was a change in language that the mayor requested from the February 25th, 2008 minutes. Why I'm here, may I ask clarification? A1 states that it's for February. Oh, it does have both dates. So I'm referring to February 25th, that I'm not pulling February 11th minutes. And just should I just read the phrase that she wants added? It says, she said, much of the funding for this project is from San Luis Obispo County of Governments. If we don't use it, it is not lost, not just to us, but to the county, which would not reflect well on the city for future projects. So she asked that the minutes be amended.
Where are you in that?
It's on a separate sheet of paper.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
So I would move approval of both minutes, the 11th and the 25th, with the amendment to the 25th.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. All right. Moving right along. D1, is that right? Yes. D1, authorizing proposed projects for Proposition 1B funding. That'll be Rob Leivick. Rob?
Yes, this item was prepared by Ms. Slayton, and unfortunately she couldn't make it tonight, so she asked me to pinch hit for her, and since it has to do with paving, probably more appropriate that I discuss this item. This item comes to you to fulfill requirement of the State Department of Finance to receive $400,000 in Proposition 1B funding. We need to allocate that money to projects and to have council take action on that $400,000. Prop 1B funding, the intention is to fund local transportation projects, focusing on the areas of local street repairs that provide a 20-year life of service to ramps and driveway approaches with overlay projects. The threshold for making these ADA improvements is generally about a 3/4 inch of overlay. The ADA is, or the access board is stating projects that are higher are significant enough to require these improvements. Once council has adopted this allocation of funds, we submit a request to the State Department of Finance for the $400,000, and we'll go on to requesting bids for the overlay and slurry seal program. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Melody.
Thank you for that discussion of how the former city engineer, I think you said, surveyed the streets and made some decisions. I don't have any problem with the first two. In fact, I think the first one is one that's going to neatly tuck itself into the roundabout going from Kern to Main Street on Morro Bay Boulevard, and that's certainly necessary. And I don't have any problem with your little slurry seal, but what I'm wondering is the Main Street overlay from Surf to Highway 1. I use my electric bike on that quite a bit, and I have to tell you there's one place that's tricky, and it's on the property side that's being developed across from Lemus. Otherwise, that street seems fine. And I think the ADA is all in place. So could you describe to me, one, what the ADA upgrades are, and why do you suppose the Main Street from Surf to Highway 1 was chosen? Because I have other candidates.
Surf to Highway 1 was chosen due to the number of trips per day. Mm-hmm. It's one of our busier streets in town. Approximately during the non-tourist season, approximately 18,000 average daily trips occur on Main Street. So it was chosen due to the high level of trips.
It was also chosen, while it's not in completely terrible shape, one of the ideas is pavement preservation. If you can catch it before it is completely gone, you save money.
Oh, and thus we're being proactive on pavement.
We will try to be proactive on pavement. I attended a workshop last week, and a lot of cities are getting away from worst first. Has been the sort of the pavement management theory for us civil engineers, is you wait till it's so bad that there's nothing else that can be done with pothole patching, and then you reconstruct the entire street. Reconstruction is 16 times more expensive than slurry seals are. It's four times more expensive than overlays are. So to maintain our existing asphalt. In addition to these streets, we do have other street segments that will be have some patching and some minor paving. The few that we've gotten bids on are Elm Street, Reno Court, Beachcomber, Tuscan, Zanzibar, and Easter Street. So we'll Elm, mm-hmm. About the 2500 block of Elm is in pretty poor shape. Reno Court, Beachcomber, from about the 3000 block of Beachcomber, Tuscan Avenue, and a little bit of Zanzibar, and then Easter Street, and about the 100 block of Easter Street. So
those are for slurry seals?
Those are for
potholes.
Major pothole repairs that are too big for the city crews to take care of.
So a little follow-on question, and then I think I'll be done. But so there's two reasons that you take care of a street. One is because of the volume of traffic. You'll pick a street that has a higher volume. And then the second thing that you're considering is fix it before you have to entirely replace it.
That's correct.
I'm happy that you have the second criteria, because if you base it simply on volume, there are an awful lot of what I think what you call feeder streets that feed into Main Street that would be totally ignored based on your volume. But my favorite is Avalon. And I don't know if you've been up and down Avalon, but that is a street that is absolutely crumbling. And it is a feeder street down to Main from an entire neighborhood. It's a hill, so even more tendency. I'm sure that Councilmember Pierce has been on Avalon a few times. It's a mess. So I think if you go with your second criteria, you would move something like that up, because it's going to fall apart and need total replacement. But if you stick with volume, then you'll continue to do things on Main Street while the rest of it crumbles. So just as a caution about that.
Okay, yeah.
Like all of those streets were red rock when this city became incorporated, only the city didn't put any red rock on them.
May I suggest, though, while we're kind of giggling about how streets were made, that is another reason why those residential streets and their long streets, okay, need to be really looked at, because they were built poorly to begin with, and I think they haven't been seen to, you say, maybe 20 years, so... I'm glad that you went out and took a look at Avalon, because it is a real bumpy ride.
Avalon has an overlay cost of approximately $90,000 would be the cost to overlay that. And perhaps a strategy to look at is to reduce the amount of improvements to Main Street to the worst and add Avalon on as a potential candidate. And we can revise that resolution to that effect.
Okay. So what's the process here? Do you, I don't want to make it sound silly, but do you drive around and you check out places by yourself and you prioritize the areas and decide what type of work has to be done on a certain area, or is it a collaborative effort, or how does that work?
It is a collaborative effort with our streets crews. They're out there on the roads every day. And other city crews looking at the streets and reporting bad spots. The city has a somewhat of a pavement management system, an Excel spreadsheet. We're trying to update that currently right now to give a better indication of pavement condition. so that, for example, just the aging of pavement, you lose over, if you don't maintain it, for example, providing slurry seals every 5 years, minor overlays every 10 years, you're losing a percentage of the value of that street by not maintaining that. And you can track that in a pavement management system. We're not to the point where we can do that right now. I currently have some intern help putting this database together so that in the future we can have a better handle on the amount of maintenance that we need to perform and the amount of major reconstruction that we have. Just on the stuff that that Frank put together for the Measure Q folks, that the 28 worst overlay segments and the 17 worst slurry steels, we're looking at approximately $2.5 million in deferred maintenance. The $400,000 from Proposition 1B funds will take a little bit out of it, but won't get us really close to that. And I think we need to have a better handle on what we need to do and how we're going to get there. The state, with some private folks, are coming up with some plans to help smaller cities finance these street repairs, leveraging their Prop 42 funds against bonds to take on a larger portion of street repairs and then paying those back over time, using a portion of their gas tax allocations to pay back these bonds. I heard about these two financing. The League of California Cities is helping prepare these, along with some private banks, looking at these potentials for street repairs. But as with most cities in California, we're struggling on how to do these street repairs. And the message that I heard at the conference was preservation, not worse first.
Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Just one more. Sure. I noticed that two of the three, the two most expensive ones, are the ones that include the ADA upgrades. And Melody asked about it. I'm not sure. I don't think it got answered, though. When we talk about ADA upgrades, are we talking about additional ADA, or are we talking about enhancing ones that are already there? And if so, how are they being enhanced? And how much of those costs are ADA upgrades?
The ADA upgrades are required for major street repair projects. And let me see, I did a calculate, looked at my calculations for example, Morro Bay Boulevard overlay. Of the $274,000, approximately $94,000 is for ADA upgrades. That would include replacement or retrofit of curb ramps, replacement or retrofit of driveway approaches, repairs to sidewalks, grinding of sidewalks, that sort of thing, to bring us into compliance so that...
What you would have selected also, in other words... The best minds in public services have come up with this, or is just happened to be what Frank did?
We did look at these segments, and these are the recommendations from the current public services department for spending this $400,000. But we would also entertain any recommendations from council on perhaps other ways to spend this. Money. It is a small amount of money. We are trying to preserve Main Street because it is a major thoroughfare through town. Is what I think I would still recommend is we spend the money on Main Street and perhaps use next year's Measure Q funds to look at some of the other deficiencies we have in town. Avalon. What are some of the others? Panorama. Is in some major need of repairs. Hill Street, Island would be, and Mindoro would be the next tier of streets those would be sort of the, my top 10 list of streets that need major overlay work.
Thank you.
Ready?
What we're taking out of Measure Q is only $35,000 this year, and I think that's the max for streets, isn't it?
It's about $96,000, I believe, this year's allocation for Measure Q money for streets. And
but is that street money split between streets and nothing else? It's strictly streets.
Strictly for streets.
So the balance of the $90,000 is going for repair or patchwork?
Is going for patchwork. It's going for some sidewalk repair. Where we had some severe storm storm damage that tore up the sidewalk on Pacific Street.
Mm-hmm.
We had to replace a big segment of sidewalk along there. And we're hoping to do a bit of grinding in the downtown with that also mm-hmm. to limit our liability for the trips and falls that we occasionally get on these problem sidewalks.
I would like to say that, you know, I know all these streets that you've talked about for being the ones for next year or that would be up next, like Elm and Reno and Tuscan. And these are, I mean, Reno's a dead end, and it has maybe 7 houses on it. So for me, I know that that would be great for patching, but that's not a priority for me because it doesn't get the traffic that you're talking about. So I appreciate that we've got the Morro Bay Boulevard. That's our entrance. You know, that's where we need to have our best foot forward. And I appreciate all that. But I can't vote for the Main Street part. I'd really like to see that lower end patched. Maybe that could be part of the patchwork. Or maybe, like you're saying, just do that one section that's right down there where the off-ramp comes and there's that mess down there. But and I hadn't thought about Avalon, but I really feel strongly that if we're going to do work in South Morro Bay, we have to balance that with North Morro Bay. We have to give some kind of token to North Morro Bay for that. My option that I was going to suggest was actually Marina. I mean, it's gone between Embarcadero up to Main Street, at least. And I see that as, and that's another tourist street. When people come in from the state park and they go down that hill, I think that two-block area is real critical right now and is actually in much, and I know you're saying don't patch the worst, but that's where the tourists go. That's a heavily trafficked area, and I'd much rather see that paved than the Main Street and just have the main patched or just that one chunk. It's not but maybe several yards that needs to be fixed down there. And I guess I'm throwing that out to council as an alternative, either Marina or Avalon or something that doesn't concentrate everything downtown. I think that volume is important, but I also think equity is important. And thank you for bringing the, I'm real impressed with how much the ADA is costing. I mean, on that one project, that's a third of the project is going towards sidewalks, and that's quite a chunk. And could you explain to me about the driveways? Because I know we've redone all the curbs on the corners.
The driveway approaches, generally, the older construction of the driveway approach would have typically a 10% cross slope from the street up to where it goes onto property. Mm-hmm. Well, the maximum cross slope in a sidewalk area is 2%. So what generally has to happen is the driveway approach gets ripped out, we create a path of travel of 2%, and then we match that driveway slope that comes in. If you see some of the newer developments, you'll mm-hmm. see a little bit steeper driveway mm-hmm. and then a flat section behind the driveway approach where you have that ADA path of travel mm-hmm. Going around there.
And that's all the city's responsibility, not private people who own property along Main Street or Morro Bay Boulevard.
It's in the right of way. I would certainly support that, except I have a concern about us trying to do their work. They're the experts. They know the streets, the condition. They know the ones they get the best bang for the buck for. And we're sitting up here with our favorite streets. Well, Avalon is one of my favorite streets, so I'm certainly, you know, sitting on the fence. But the bottom line is, you know, we're trying to do their job.
Mr. Pierce, I disagree for this reason. I never even thought of Avalon, and I'm willing to vote for Avalon. That's not my favorite street. If it's a high-traffic street, it's in a residential area, it needs work, I'm willing to do that. I think that's great, and I don't feel like I'm trying to do his job. He's asked for other comment. I'm willing to give other comment. And as residents who live here and we use these streets constantly, I think we have some knowledge about what would be a good area to pave.
Well, I certainly can, you know, say that residents use that area, but we have been told by staff this is their preferred way of doing it after looking at the streets, but they will consider our directions. They mm-hmm. asked for input, mm-hmm. but again, we were told twice, this is what staff wants to do unless we put the gun to their head and change it. And, you know,
I'm willing to lead here. I'm willing to say that there's another street that's more important and that that's okay, and that they are our staff, and that I'm glad to give them my opinion.
Yeah, but your opinion is a directive.
Yes,
it's
it is.
Not an opinion.
And that's why they're coming back to us, because they have to have our permission to spend to get this money. And we are the policymakers, and we are the ones in charge of the town. And I appreciate the advice that they give us, and I respect that totally. But I'm seeing a greater need in a different area.
Okay, we may be headed toward our first stalemate of the night, because the way I feel, and I understand your equity argument, but I think we need to look at, it doesn't matter where it is, if it's bad and it's on our list of priorities, that's what we need to fix. Doesn't matter if it's North Morro Bay, South Morro Bay, wherever it may be, we need to take care of what streets that are identified as the ones that we need to take care of. And I think staff's done that here. You know, before we know it, we're going to have another 1B windfall and Measure Q funds that's going to go along to for our next phase. And I would like for staff to take a look at it and judge their recommendations on how bad it is, how well-traveled it is, and how dangerous it is. So I'm of the mind to follow staff's suggestion on where these upgrades should take place.
I'll keep it short and simple, because I can see where this is headed, and say that it is not my job to simply take everything that staff says. If that was my job, I would not have the gray hair that I have now. I would not have the sleepless nights. My job is to listen to residents, to travel in this town, to look at the neighborhoods and to see what's going on, and then to come here and talk with staff about what's reasonable. So let's take the vote.
Any further discussion on this? Okay. On Mr. Merritt's motion, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
So we're at 2-2 on this.
Our policies and procedures state that any motion or resolution has to be passed by 3 votes, so obviously that fails and we need 3 votes. Our rules and procedures also say you're required to at least try to get that majority vote, and if not, then the motion would be to continue it till the next meeting. So if someone could try a different type motion, or at this point in time, if you think that would be futile, you could just make a motion to continue and we'll take it back up when the mayor is here.
I'd try another motion. And I want you guys to listen to me and tell me if I'm allowed to do this motion. But I would move approval of resolution number 1208 with further direction to staff to keep Avalon at the top of the list for Q money next year.
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Just a minute. I'd like to discuss.
All right, Betty.
I would prefer that we have a motion that would approve the first 2 items and just not the third, and that we can come back and discuss that at another time, or we can try to negotiate that.
Is there a second?
I seconded it.
There's already a motion.
Mm-hmm. No, we have a motion on the floor. This is just discussion. We have to vote on Melody's motion.
So what I'm trying to do is persuade you to think that a compromise would be to approve the first 2 items, not all 3, which is the current motion, and to come back at another time to do the last one when we have a fifth vote, or to stay here now and try to compromise that $144,000 into maybe a couple.
Interim city manager and the city attorney attended a leadership workshop in Santa Barbara in November with a number of other city councils and various staff members from those cities. One of the strongest recommendations from that workshop was the importance of goal and objective setting, as well as strategic planning for councils and city staffs. Then, of course, those determined goals and objectives become the parameters for the upcoming year or 2 years of work in the city. Following the Santa Barbara workshop, I believe that this was brought up as a future agenda item, and we looked at Fifth Mondays as a possibility of one of those Fifth Mondays to host this workshop. And as a result, we put this workshop on the March 31st date. In terms of discussion, staff strongly believes that there's a huge importance in goal and objective setting, and we're very interested in doing that. We are a little bit concerned about the timeline for the March meeting, and those reasons are three, really. We are feeling that it would be important to have this goal-setting workshop, but postpone it to a later date, sometime perhaps in May or June. We certainly see the benefit of having a completed organizational assessment for this workshop. That organizational assessment will be done, we believe, mid-April, the beginning of May. I also feel it's very important to have a permanent city manager, and I believe that should be happening sometime the end of April, the beginning of May. As well, during that time frame, you will have a better or a better feeling. You won't have your budget adopted, but you will have a better feeling of what your budget picture will be for fiscal year 2008-2009. I guess the fourth reason that we're hoping to postpone this workshop is that we are concerned about the short time frame available to organize such a workshop. Secondly, in looking at having a workshop, we firmly believe it's important to have a facilitator, a manager for that workshop. One of the suggestions that we have, although we're certainly willing to go out and get additional proposals, is that we have worked with Management Partners. Management Partners is the organization that's doing our assessment as well. They put on the leadership workshop. If you'll recall, there was a woman at the workshop, Jan Perkins, and she does this for a number of cities, and we would recommend that I believe you'd be happy with her results. As well, there was a listserv some time ago that went out to a number of different cities about facilitators for similar workshops, and Management Partners did come up a couple of different times on that listserv, so I think that they would be a good suggestion. The suggested format for this meeting is to have city council members and department heads working through or starting out with some pre-interviews. The workshop would focus on a couple of different things, focusing on norms and expectations, a vision of where the city wants to go, specifically within the next year, and that's going to be long-term for us at this point, priorities for the upcoming year, and staff capacity. We would suggest that a follow-up report be done after the workshop and distributed to all the participants to look at the direction for the upcoming year. We are suggesting an all-day format, a 9 to 4. Certainly during the week would be fine. I think we also need to be open to a weekend, perhaps a Saturday workshop. And, of course, this would be open to the public. We are suggesting a couple of dates on the staff report. We are looking at fifth Mondays, which is you have a fifth Monday on June 30th, Monday, July 7th. We can go back to May. We're really all over the page in this terms, but I think the most important thing that staff would try to get across to the City Council is the importance of putting this in the future, a little bit in the future. That really concludes my staff report. I'm happy to answer questions that you might have.
I have one. When do we anticipate having the new city manager on board? Approximately.
Scheduling-wise, I think we're looking at the second week or third week in April. The third week is scheduled. You know, we've got later on in this month, we're meeting with the Avery and Associates. I think on March 21st is when we'll have our first candidate orientation, and then we'll do interviews as soon as he can schedule them. But I believe those would be the week of the 14th, I think, is the week that he was looking out for the interviews. And then, you know, shortly after that would be the selection process, and then depending on how soon they can start. So I think optimistically, it's May 15th if we were able to get someone on board by that, more like June 1st. So I would bet someone will be completely on board.
I would suggest then, Mr. Vice Mayor, that we not schedule this event till the city manager's at least been at the desk for a couple of months so they have an idea, so they can contribute, if nothing else, because they're going to sit there and listen and just be overwhelmed if we don't give them time to get their feet wet. And so I would say, you know, July, August, September, something like that would be what I'd recommend just because of where we are.
Betty?
I totally disagree. I think that my image of what was going to happen at this workshop has nothing to do with organization, had nothing to do with the budget. It could be later in the fall. But if you wait to the fall, we're already 10 months out, and we've lost a year. And I think we need to get going on it now. I think this is critical, and I think this is what we've all been asking for, both staff and council. And I would like to see us stick to the March deadline.
Mallory?
Maybe I'm not quite remembering what we agreed to, but is your concept then, Ms. Winholt, that this is something that would not need a high-paid facilitator and it would not be specific, but it would be more philosophical?
I think
What did we agree to?
I don't know that if we ever agreed. I think what we said was, yeah, we need to do this. And I don't know that the this was ever defined. I think staff has attempted to define it for us. And that's great, but that's not the picture that I had. And so I think we still need a facilitator, and I think we need to do it on the low end, more towards the 5 or less, not the 8,000. I think it's someone that will keep the conversation going or direct us towards identifying our goals, identifying our norms, and how we need to work together.
Okay, thank you. I think God knows we need to design a plan for the city. I think Mr. Pierce has even talked about we need some kind of long-term planning. The interim city manager said we need some long-term planning. I don't see it going out into fall. And I think if we hire somebody who can't get his feet under himself or herself within 3-4 weeks, we've hired the wrong person. I'd give you the current public conversation about the 3 a.m. phone call. So I hope we get a seasoned person who could take a June 30th meeting, actually, was what I was looking at. And I think I have some probably personal interference going on around the June 30th or March 31st date, and I'll admit that. If we feel we could pull it off by the 31st, I'm there, and I'm ready to talk. I've got some ideas I'd love to play out. But I don't know even if staff is ready at this point. We would need to have all of our department heads kind of stop what they're up to. I mean, really, this is 3 weeks away. I wouldn't see it going out till the fall, but I would certainly be more open to the June 30th meeting.
Andrea, if I might, what are we getting for $5,000 to $8,000 here besides the facilitator?
You're really getting somebody to manage it. They're going to be doing some pre-interviews. They're going to be doing a follow-up report. So I have asked also, I think it's certainly important to say, thank you for reminding me, that I have asked management partners to sharpen their pencil. She's giving me a full proposal, which isn't here yet, and I apologize. But you're getting someone that really is going to manage the whole thing, not just someone that's going to sit up with a flip chart and put, you know, dots on pieces of paper. So, but I will have a full proposal. Just I don't have it tonight, and my apologies.
Okay. This is a goals and objectives workshop. And I think it's important that, you know, we as a council identify with the few most important goals that we have and work to see how we're going to take care of that. I also think it would be nice to have the new city manager there. It would be good on-the-job training, be a good way for us to all get to know each other. I don't think we need to keep it on the calendar until fall. I think before the end of July, it should be finished. That's what I'd like to see. Any further comment?
My other comment is hearing what Ms. Luker is saying. I would be willing to listen to a motion that reschedules a date, but not to okaying the particular person until we have a contract, and we might want to talk about the parameters of the job, because I'm hearing all this pre-study, post-study, all this other. Maybe we don't need all that. Maybe they just need to come in and keep us from fighting with each other. But I'm certain I would like to have two separate motions so that we can okay a date and then go forward with whether or not we want to have a contract in front of us before we say it's okay.
Mr. Vice Mayor. I concur. I would like to see what it is we're going to get for the money before we approve it. I think we can set the date. I know in times past we've had facilitators and done two goal-setting workshops. The first one, while it was structured so that we were all orderly and polite and put the dots in the right places, it wasn't structured well enough to keep us from putting, separating realistic from pie in the sky. You know, our primary goal was undergrounding all the utilities or something. Well, that's not something staff's going to
of June. Okay, I guess it dies for.
Okay. Do I hear a second on that?
I'll second.
All those, are any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Okay, 3-1. And.
Well, that has to wait, doesn't it?
The other motion would direct staff to firm up a contract with Jan Perkins, looking for fewer tasks and lower dollar amounts.
If I made a suggestion, if that's okay, Councilman,
sure. Is
maybe we do it the same way we kind of did the RFP, which we ended up doing with management partners, but why don't we send out just a quick couple paragraph RFP and get a few different proposals from some other people too, so you've got some apples to apples you can compare what they would do.
That actually might be a good idea. I'm tomorrow morning I'll be shoveling through all the responses to the website development RFP. 40 people.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't think we'll get that many for a facilitator, but mm-hmm. There's quite a few IT people out there.
And we actually do have a number of facilitators who live locally who might want to respond to something like that.
So then the motion.
I withdraw my motion, and I'll let one of you guys do that.
Okay, I'll move we direct staff to create an RFP and send it out to as many known facilitators as they see fit, to come back with a proposal to facilitate our meeting on June 30th.
Is there a second?
A second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No. All right. D3, letter to local state parks regarding unmet needs. That's Betty.
At the last council meeting, I volunteered to write a letter to state parks that incorporated three of the unmet needs that was brought before us by the Morro Bay Bicycle Committee, and they're listed on the back, the three that related to state parks. One was that staff made us aware that we had a bike rack that we would be glad to donate to state parks, because one of the places the bike committee said we needed a rack that did not exist was on the south side of Morro Rock, but it happens to be inside state parks jurisdiction rather than ours. The second one was that the road through Morro Bay State Park needs to be resurfaced. I think there's no one that doesn't agree with that. And the last one, that we would like to see a Class 1 bike trail along the lower state park road. It's my understanding that the Coastal Conservancy has money still left over from other propositions over past years, and that would be a good source of money, as it has been for our harbor walk. And so I added that paragraph at the end. Unless there's suggestions, I also encourage Superintendent Ortiz to get back with us. I think we need to have a dialogue, and would hope that he would do that.
Okay, first, thank you for doing that. Any comments on the letter or changes?
Well, first of all, thank you, Ms. Winholtz, for writing the letter. And I think it includes everything that we'd intended to have. But in the matter of having him get back in touch with us, I'm wondering if we need to strengthen the end where we say, we wish you the best with your new responsibilities. Please contact us within 30 days about these ideas. Or
perhaps rather than a time limit, might be to whom he should contact. Does it need to be the city manager? Does it need to be the mayor? Who is it that we want him to be in touch with?
Okay.
Ms. Luker, do you have a preference? Since it's a council idea, should it be the mayor?
It's fine with the mayor as well as it's fine with staff, either one. Mm-hmm. I know Mr. Ortiz. So either way, I'm sure the mayor's fine with that as well, whatever the council's comfortable with.
Okay. Well, I think since she knows the mayor, we might as well ask him to contact our city manager about these ideas.
Okay. And then I would ask for a follow-up then from her after her meeting with him.
Do you want to state how you want to word that?
We wish you the best with your new responsibilities and ask you to contact our city manager with regards to our suggestions.
And you'll go ahead and make the changes to that and send it out?
Yes, I'll get with Ms. Bauer and do that.
Okay.
I would move the approval of a letter then?
I do.
Okay. Good.
You're good, Melody? Mm-hmm. Good. All right.
Can you take a motion?
I just made one.
Okay, I seconded it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No.
Future
agenda items.
I have one.
Well, I just have a question about the last one. That was about Mr. Pierce's letter to regarding the cemetery. Will we get to make comment on that?
I don't know. It went into the black hole.
No.
It's coming out of the black hole at your next meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I have a future agenda item.
Well, we have the support for a future agenda item for that. Melody, okay, did you have anything, Betty? Okay, one thing I'd like to bring up as a future agenda item that I've been hearing a lot about lately is the fact that we're requiring businesses that are not in this city to get a Morro Bay business license to deliver needed items to businesses in this city that are from out of the city. And, you know, I see where that has detrimental effects, just like auto shops, deliveries for a part people are having to pay. And it all filters down to the consumer, you know, and people are having to pay $25 on their bill because they got a part from out of the city. I'm not sure that's fair, and I'd like to have a discussion on that. So do I have support on that?
You have my support. I heard from a different business than you did, and he was told that his out-of-town suppliers he's regularly been using because he's not doing as much business because a contractor's going out. He's got deliveries that they're refusing to make deliveries anymore because they don't want to buy business licenses.
Right.
So he's having a hard time getting his product.
I'll support
that.
Talk
about
it. Okay, great. And is anything any other future agenda items? Very good. I think Ms. Winholtz has our closing quote tonight.
It's a quote from Reuben Job. Taking appropriate care of self and living selflessly are not opposites. Rather, they are each essential elements of a healthy and productive life.
Great. Well, thank you, everybody. It was a lot of fun, and we're adjourned.